Oh, wow. I gave it to him when he got mad.
What did you have? What was it? What make my
Hello, Gary.
Okay, here's a good
How are you doing?
It's Christmas. And I'm taking homemade fudge to them.
He could barely make corn.
Metal worker out there on the ranch. Yeah.
I quit bringing
He wasn't there. So on my way back, we stayed at the post office. I decided to check the mail.
So you sold it up. Those things are hard to sell.
Go the wrong way down. It's 40 parts. It's a pusher, Tiffin. Get out of my car.
We finally put it on consignment.
The guy goes like this. You see? So I go over and he says, do you know what you did wrong? And I went,
I've had problems selling any of them.
Really? Yes. He said, it's going to cost you 800
days. Well, it'll
kill me.
Didn't.
Oh, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I got all this dislation. Drove the wrong way, and I did. So a moment deep, though, I went back to the car. I got the fudge. I brought it over. Will this work? And they look at each other, and they grin, and they said, next time you're getting a ticket.
And this guy happened to see that again. And he looked at a lot of other noodles before he finally came to get it known.
That's what I heard.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
For a while, you didn't have
January 3rd.
Permanent. And from what that motorhome cost.
We've been permanent for
That's what I figured a long time ago.
Don't they have pets? They have little dogs.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't have direct.
From the beginning. Not permanent. It includes your FM.
I may just stay home.
Yeah, my wife goes in next week for
The test.
The test, yeah, Herma Seal. We've already submitted all the papers.
Oh, good.
And the law changed in the middle of our
thing.
So I'm going to lose, but she's going to get it. But then I was thinking about it. Once she's a citizen, I could marry her down here. And that may make me a citizen.
Right. That's some creative thinking.
You only got one thing, you only got one thing to worry about. What if she says no? What if she says no?
That's what I said. If you ask her,
the house is in my name.
How about if you have a baby? Would that do anything?
Be an anchor kid.
In Mexico,
there is. They changed
that.
If you
more money coming in.
If you're retired.
Well, Russ is going to be rich.
James.
Oh boy.
60.
I'm already planning my budget.
All you had to do was submit a letter saying
Scott,
why you wanted to
took that out of your ear. You're not talking so loud.
What?
We sold all the property in the United States. We live here.
Yes.
And then they changed on, it was January 3rd or January 18th. It was January. They changed the law. You have to know Spanish again.
Yeah.
A simple. They show you some pictures and you have to write a little story. You have your choice of which picture you want to do it. What's happening in
the
Yeah, what's happening in the scene.
No matter
which
how old you are.
Of course.
That. But then they call you from Mexico City, which I couldn't pass because I can't hear, and talk to you on the phone and you have to
answer questions.
Yeah. And I have trouble talking.
Well, that's when you hire Scott to take the phone call.
It's harder on the phone,
language for sure.
Really, sign advertises help
Debbie
with
has to do that. Debbie's applying right now. She has to. They told her she was going to get a phone call.
Yep.
She can hear and she can speak Spanish.
So she'll be
and the, but the thing is if they're going to talk really fast.
Is that for citizens?
Well, you know what I would do? I would ask them to slow down.
Oh, I do.
Permanente is easy.
Did you become a citizen?
Oh, really?
And then I was thinking I could always marry my wife down here.
But is she really, are you legally married now? How can you do that?
So
personal question.
But you know what? Part of
what I'm saying is why would
what is his
you
name?
Could be married
Jim.
Down here in Mexico.
In Mexico.
So Jim. What difference if he's already legally married?
Because under the Mexican law, you'd be
because you remarried.
No, the point is that by marrying a Mexican, you get automatic citizenship.
But he's already married to a Mexican.
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
A white person right now, Caucasian. American.
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 Yeah.
A U.S.
citizen.
We're all Americans here.
Yeah, Americano.
Another thing they added, Bill, in January, is you have to have an apostilled marriage certificate.
Oh, we already have all that does.
So, I mean, I wonder if that would hurt you if you became a citizen and then you tried to.
Well, I was going to tell you, my buddy Theo just did this whirlwind trip into town. And one of the reasons was because he had this travel that he had to figure out some way to turn into an opportunity. He came down for less than 48 hours, stayed at my place. We took over Tequila's, and he did all his filming of me talking about Bitcoin.
Just the two of you?
The two of us, and Richard helped us as well. We had like six cameras out, green screen out. And we were like, for 2 hours, I was repeating lines and saying things over and over. But on his way out, I gave him, he said he would take the credit card, and he's already given me the direction to go to get a wallet set up. And so he's going to take care of giving us the transaction. He'll teach me how to do it, and then I'll teach you.
I truly think it's going to keep going up.
They don't require you to give up.
I truly think it'll keep jumping up and down.
I honestly, just because it's the biggest one out there, all the other ones.
Yeah.
They just closed one down a while ago.
Well, and I asked him, in fact, we should get started. It's time to start, right?
Well, I had to replace the wipe.
So I will introduce this. Maybe I'll introduce it after I close them.
Fantastic deal.
There we go. This is a professional show. There we go.
And we're live.
Okay, and we are live. We are live. For anybody that's concerned about whatever they're talking about, from this moment on, we are recording.
Are we governed by FCC rules and no swearing?
Not yet. I get one complaint from the four people watching, maybe. Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we're meeting again here at Tequila's. We meet at 9:15-ish and start doing this, record this online. We produce it as a live stream, both audio and video, and capture it onto YouTube for posterity. Or maybe some good information comes out of this and you need to go back and take a look at it. At least in this way, you don't have to take notes, right? You can enjoy the conversation and know that you can go back to the YouTube and see what we were talking about. Like I was just telling James, my buddy Theo, you guys have all met him before. He's the Bitcoin advocate there in New York. He was actually in Phoenix because of a trial that's going on with a guy that calls himself Morpheus.
Morpheus.
Yeah. And he was being held on money laundering charges because of Bitcoin. And I will try and Theo might actually be listening and chime in to correct me if I get this wrong. But he was telling me this trial and the trial in Florida that happened recently are two critical trials that have gone on recently. The one in Florida, what they did was somebody bought Bitcoin from the guy on trial now and told him after the fact it was going to be used to buy credit card numbers. And the FBI, it was an FBI sting operation. And so the people buying the Bitcoin were actually the FBI. And where they screwed up was that they only did it once and they didn't let him know ahead of time that that's what it was being used for. And so the charges didn't stick and he was let off because the FBI screwed up their investigation. They thought that that's all they needed. And what they were trying to prove was how this was being used for money laundering and criminal activities by showing that the Bitcoin couldn't be taken back. Unlike if you were to buy something with a MasterCard, you could revoke the charge going, well, I found out later it was being used for heinous reasons, so I didn't allow it to go through. A Bitcoin doesn't work that way. It's like handing over cash. And so you're handing over cash to unscrupulous behavior, and you're not doing anything to try and cover yourself. And so they thought that in Florida that would be enough to get this guy on charges. Apparently it wasn't, which, I mean, naturally that doesn't make sense to me that you could say, well, I used it to buy credit card numbers and think that the person that gave him the cash would be held liable for that. And so it seemed pretty straightforward that he wouldn't be prosecuted. The guy in Arizona, a little bit different story. He was a heavy libertarian. The FBI did a sting on him, said that after the first Bitcoin transaction, they were basically giving him cash for Bitcoins. After the first transaction, they said, we're going to use this to buy drugs. And this guy, Morpheus, being a heavy libertarian, told, instead of saying, I don't want to do business with you, said, I don't want to know what you use Bitcoin for. And so then they did three more transactions, and he was prosecuted and found guilty of money laundering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Both cases sound like entrapment. The second case is really set a precedence for how they could entrap people legally. All he would have had to have done after the first transaction is, I can't condone the use of Bitcoin for these kinds of transactions since they're illegal in this state, and been done with the player. But instead, because he's a heavy libertarian, his political slant is, I don't care, Bitcoin is free, you can use it for whatever you want, and continued to sell it, and that's what he was convicted for.
Well, that's the same premise as using an ATM. You know, the bank is going to question what you're using your $500 for.
I agree with you. I think that
sounds like the government's fishing around there. He's mentioned pin something with the name Bitcoin on it so they can scare people.
I completely agree with that. I feel like these are examples of the government trying. It's kind of like a toddler pushing its limits, seeing how much they can get away with, figuring out what the rules are going to be about Bitcoin, and their goal really is to attach it to things like money laundering so that they can shut down on the idea of this independent value system so that people have to flock to a centralized value system like we have in the past. And they can hold up justification like these cases and say, look, here's a case where it was being used for money laundering. We can't condone this. And Theo, if you're listening, you can correct me through Messenger, but I think he was telling me that in New York, they got, they're, was it New York? No. What did he show me? I want to say it was in Nebraska now. They were trying to get a law passed that put Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, in the realm of money laundering. Like, when you see cryptocurrency, it is legal to assume money laundering is happening. That's the language they were trying to use. And so for me, it feels very much like they want to set these things while people don't understand what's going on. They want to put these rules in place before anybody really understands how this whole system works, so they can control the system. The government can maintain control over the financial system.
If the FBI weren't doing this and there was a total collapse of Bitcoin, people would be saying in hindsight, why the hell didn't you go after Bitcoin? So they're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Now, I don't know what percentage is illegal on this, but entrapment, you know, it's exactly what they do when they talk to a potential terrorist, and they get involved in that. You know, there's a fine line in entrapment. But anyway, I'm just...
Well, I think the terrorism analogy is a great way to compare it to. You guys remember that story of the homegrown terrorist that the FBI basically pushed him into the position to leave a bomb, and they've got it documented that he was saying, no, I've changed my mind, I don't want to do it, and the FBI kept saying, no, you can do it, here's the bomb. They encouraged him into being a terrorist.
That's one situation, yeah. And there's others where they just had somebody comes, puts an ad on and says, you know, I want you to kill my wife. And they answer that ad. Is that entrapment? Is that tie drawing that person into them committing? I'm just saying that for everything that's been said right now, that it's that the FBI shouldn't be involved in this if and when something happens, which I believe it will, with Bitcoin, with these cryptocurrencies.
You're definitely right in that when you're dealing with Bitcoin, you could lose your phone. Your phone could explode. Like, you're using a wallet on your phone could explode. Now you don't have any of the money in that wallet. The same way as though somebody stole your wallet. And you would think a technology-based currency, you'd have some way of backing it up. You'd have some insurance that would be provided by it, similar to like a credit card, if a credit card were stolen. But you don't, because of the... And so people that don't understand those aspects of the currency...
Wait, you're saying that if you have you own Bitcoin and it's on your computer, and your computer's stolen, that somebody can get your Bitcoin?
Well, that's a bit nuanced, because it would really depend on how you left your wallet on the computer. Because a Bitcoin wallet is a piece of software that needs to be authorized to get in and do transactions
with. Let's say they had the
password.
Password.
Then yes, absolutely. They could set up a transaction between your wallet and another wallet. Now, because it's become less and less anonymous now, because they've got software that can track through the blockchain, there is the potential of being able to track to where those funds were distributed to. But it would require an investigation. It wouldn't be as straightforward as a routing number in a bank. They would have to not only track where the transactions went to, but then they'd have to find a way to associate that particular wallet or that particular string of wallets to a person. And that's where it gets a little more difficult. Because you can have a wallet on a phone, you can have a wallet on your computer, you can have a wallet on a tablet, you can have a wallet out there in cloud space. Actually, cloud space is probably the best way for them to be able to track transactions from a government's perspective. Because these cloud-based wallets require you to identify who you are with, at the very least, an email address. Hey, you follow what I mean? But yeah, if that's... Or if your system blows up or your hard drive dies, you've lost all the money in that wallet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you access the cloud-based wallet from multiple devices?
Well, you could, and that's the point. I mean, it wouldn't be a duplication. It would be the same way you go to Hotmail from multiple devices.
Well, I was under the impression that it was central accounting for Bitcoin.
No, and that's where the immutable database comes from with the critical mass concept, is that there is a variety of people that are verifying this database. And so there isn't a central authority. There is, and Theo had me say that, and this is what, you know, I got into this not to talk about Bitcoin, but to explain why Theo was here. The case was over. He was making regular trips back and forth from New York to Phoenix. He had already purchased the plane tickets to go back to Phoenix. And in the time period he had gone back to New York, the trial was over. The guy was convicted. And so here he had plane tickets to Phoenix, and he didn't know what he was going to do with them. So he's like, I've been wanting to record Scott talking about Bitcoin. I'm going to make a quick trip down to San Carlos and set up a recording session with him. And so that's why he was down here for like 24 hours recording me. The point that he had me reiterate many times in the things we were recording is that this database is verified. You have what gives it its value, makes a Bitcoin possible, is that more than 50% of the participants are unable to create fraud in the system.
Unable through the
technology, it is impossible for over 50% to create fraud, and that's done through this critical mass, where you've got more than 50% participating in verifying this blockchain, this ledger. then it doesn't matter if there's 40, 49% of the people. Even if 49% of the people get together and verify values and transactions that are fraudulent, because there's more than 50% doing the verification of the blockchain, those are disregarded immediately. And it's not a take them to court and argue whether these are true or not. Fundamentally, the way the technology works is that over 50% have verified the transactions. That is the correct ledger, and everything else that's suggested is wrong.
So if you have 20 bitcoins, you're probably going to always have 20 bitcoins.
That's the idea in the end, yeah.
They might be worth nothing, or they might be worth $1 billion, but you're always going to have 20.
That's right. And not only that, but where you got the bitcoins and where they go are always going to be the same. There's not going to be a change in those. It's like having T accounts that never disappear. They're always there. And the value that you derive is based on the chain of transactions that brought you to the point where you have the 20 bitcoins.
Would you scare the dog?
You know, I lost my car keys. No, my house keys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's why I pulled up. I go to get my keys. They're gone.
Did you find
but
them?
I still have money.
Did you find them?
No.
Oh, no. Well, so I didn't mean to start another Bitcoin conversation.
Ooh.
Mike will obviously have to watch the YouTube later.
Did anybody watch Silicon Valley this week?
Yeah.
Did you see the bit about the Bitcoin making noise?
Mm-hmm. That was very funny.
It was.
One of their programmers set up an obnoxious heavy metal song to play 10, or what was it, like 3 seconds of music every time the Bitcoin value changed.
It's very volatile. He didn't want to miss any changes.
He did it mostly to annoy the other programmers because it's so volatile. Like every 3 minutes it would make a noise. It's like, you don't want me to miss the change. It devalue my Bitcoins, do you? Well,
another thing I saw this week was I went to pay my federal taxes, and the first warning was, if you're on Windows XP, don't bother because it's been violated, and we don't deal with it anymore.
So this is in the United States?
Yes. Actually, it's the only place I do pay taxes. Yes.
So far.
I quit in Croatia. I couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, I bought a computer.
Oh, Chester's got a new computer.
Yeah.
What'd you buy?
Lenovo.
Oh, you got a PC.
Well, it's a 2-in-1.
Okay.
15-inch 2-in-1.
15-inch 2-in-1. So that means it's a tablet as well as a laptop. Uh-huh. And does it have the 360 hinge so it flips all the way around?
Well, you throw it backwards. I hadn't tried going around, but I know
it flips all the way around?
I don't know about that.
Oh. Oh, okay. So this is...
Just flip so that you can just have the screen and use it on Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. So it, the hinge can be used kind of like a digital picture frame kind of setup. Cool. What model was it?
The 5 Flix. It wasn't cheap.
They're not cheap.
5 Flix.
Did you have to buy a keyboard, a Bluetooth keyboard?
I have one.
What if you just got a Bluetooth, a mouse?
I have a Bluetooth mouse.
Yeah, that's what I use with mine. I got tired of that.
It costs $999 plus tax.
It's probably $1,200.
Remember what they used to cost? Computers?
I was reminded of that while I was up helping my parents move during the vacation. Because I walked into an Office Max to get some packing material, and you know, I can't go into a place like that without going down the computer aisle. And I saw this beautiful netbook replacement that is done in brushed aluminum. I swear it looks like a mini-me version of my computer right here. And you put them right next, it's a Lenovo as well, but you put them right next to each other and you can't tell the difference. It looks like you shrunk this computer down. It's just gorgeous, but the screen pops right off of it because it's a tablet with a keyboard base station. and it's got a quad core processor in it, 2 gigs, and I'm looking at it, and my wife's been using this old netbook that was mine, she inherited after her computer was stolen, that I bought in 2012 for $210, and I'm looking at this computer going, she'd love that, that's beautiful, it's $210, and it's three times the computer, the one that she's using right now. So it's the only computer I've ever just bought on a whim. I mean, I didn't do any research. It's too pretty and too cheap. I got to buy it.
I think it's called a Fire Flex.
Their marketing
Flex.
Was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Made it nice.
I think their model is Fire Flex.
Fire Flex? I just brought it up to take a look at it. The 15-inch. Oh, yeah, okay. It does. It makes an A shape, yeah. So that you can. Oh, and it folds all the way flat down, so you flatten it to the.
I got all that, and I never used it. I do use the touch.
Well, and they're not showing. I'm not seeing any pictures that shows it flipped all the way like yours, Maggie. Where it can. Oh, there's one. Okay. Yeah. So it looks like you can fold it all the way back flat and cradle it like a tablet.
So did you need more computing? Or you just
no, I sold my motorhome, so I can't carry that 27-incher around anymore.
And decided he had extra money, you know.
If I'll be traveling in the car, I got to have something, not 27-incher, I'll go into the hotel, you know.
Chester's homeless.
Yeah, he's homeless. Only seasonally is homeless.
Well, that is cool. And you're happy with it?
So far.
Yeah?
So far, so good.
You've been wanting one for quite a while.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I really like it. I was showing my wife the tablet port. She's like, I'll never use that. I don't like tablets. And then I'm like, I don't care. It's cool. I'm like, and I know you will. At some point, you'll be like, ah, I got to read this QuickBooks, but I want to lie on the couch. I'm like,
yeah,
here you go.
Because
it's full-blown Windows 10. It's not the Windows 10S that was out for a little bit. It's touch screen, so you can use it like a tablet. It's a beautiful little computer.
How big is the screen?
It's a 10-inch screen. I put it right next to the net. This is the other thing that I really liked about it, is that I put it right next to the netbook, and it's just a hair smaller than the netbook, which was a 10-inch. And you guys have probably seen me using it in the past, that old plastic Toshiba netbook. But it's like 4 or 5 times faster. It's the netbook I was using is a single core dual thread processor. This is a quad core modern 64-bit processor. It still only has 2 gigs of RAM, which put it in a netbook class. But instead of running an Android operating system, it's running a Windows 10 operating system. And the keyboard is just a base that allows it to have USB ports, but then on the tablet itself, it has a USB-C port on it, which I thought was amazing to get in a package that only cost $210.
What's USB-C?
Well, it's the latest convention for USB. It's the fastest USB. And
real small. It's tiny.
It is. Did yours come with USB-C? Yeah. And are you able to power across it, too? Is that how your power adapter is USB-C?
No, the power adapter is in its own.
It's got its own power.
Its own port.
So that is a big seller for USB-C as we go into the future, because if the manufacturer's done it right, they are using USB, and Apple is one of the few, I think HP and Dell now have out some devices that use USB-C for powering. But it's a standard that allows you to put something like 60 watts of power through it. They're bidirectional ports, and you're able to put this power adapter on any USB-C to charge your battery. And so that gives you some real flexibility of moving where the power adapter plugs into the computer, if it's on this side or on this side. It also allows you to power through a hub. And one of the sellers of the new Macintosh laptops is that you can have a MacBook Pro with 4K displays that are plugged in to a hub that run one cable down to your Macintosh, and with that one cable you can drive both displays, any other plugged-in peripherals, and charge the battery of the laptop all at the same time with just one cable. So there's an amazing amount of technology that goes into that, and most people that are looking at that are going, one cable, just one cable.
Not to hug the trees too hard, but think of how many things you don't have to throw out after this gets to be used. You know, I mean, how much, you know, maybe 3 years you go to a trash bin and throw many of these chargers away? Right?
Well, the CD is becoming obsolete.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, your new device doesn't have an optical drive, does it?
Yeah. I had to buy one.
Right?
Let me ask on extenders. Are they available in Mexico? Are they seamless? Is it going to drive me crazy if I get one?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good questions.
Yeah, very good questions, Gary. Hey, if you've got the money and the time, I fell in love with those Euros. The EERO mesh Wi-Fi adapters. I cared nothing about them until I actually set them up for a customer, and I just was blown away by the Euro Wi-Fi mesh extenders. It's EERO, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past. They're not that expensive. If you think, they're more expensive, but what you get in a package is you can buy a base station and two beacons, they're called, which run about $350 for that package. Now that's about one extender more expensive than if you bought a router and two extenders. Because you think about a good quality router running between $80 to $150, and a good quality extender you expect to run between about, I don't know, $50 to $80. And so you get up there, you get to about $250, right around that range if you were doing it in the old technology. So this is about $100 more in my way of doing math. It's about $100 more all at once. But the performance has just been insane. I've been over there a couple more times using their system, and it's not like there's no dropouts. You've got internet, whether you're in the parking lot, whether you're in the back room. The way this was set up, I'll remind you guys, and Chester, I don't think you were here when we were talking about it. This is a large property with a horseshoe-style hacienda that's two-story, and we put the base station in the middle with their incoming internet connection, and then we put another one right underneath on the first floor, because they live on the second floor. And anybody that's messed around with these range extenders knows just going downstairs or upstairs is really painful. Chester's shaking his head because I've been to his house. He installed a cable because it just did not work very well. I've been in places in the Caracol where we dangled an extender in the stairway so that it would come upstairs because we could not get it to go through the floor because there's just too much rebar. And we put the other beacon way out on one side of the horseshoe, because that's where their office was. And in both locations, using the Euro app, I was able to see the connectivity between the beacon and the base station, and it was almost full bars. In one location, it was full bars. It was like full signal, whereas a range extender would never have seen full bars from the base station equipment. The range extender would see this weak signal, and it would be repeating that weak signal so that it could go that much farther out that direction. Whereas these Euros, with their proprietary Wi-Fi system, they were seeing a full signal strength way out on that. In one place it was full five bars, and then in the other location it was four bars.
How about the other side of the horseshoe?
Well, it was still getting great Wi-Fi connectivity. Okay. Now, you can't measure between beacons. I mean, you can, but it's unrealistic. You really, at that point, you're measuring it, your Wi-Fi connectivity. Now, what I was just about to say is what's unique about the mesh extender is that seamlessly your wireless device is connecting to one of the three. without you having to switch, without it accidentally hanging on to one as you move into the room of another. It is just picking up and moving to these other base stations. And another unique characteristic of the mesh is that if for some reason the beacon you're connected to finds problems getting to the base station, and let's call that the home, then it will pass it to the other beacon. It does a calculation to see if going straight to the base station is faster than bouncing off of another beacon and going to the base station. And if it's faster to send traffic bouncing off of another beacon, then it takes that route. You're no more the wiser. And what this means is that the more beacons in your world, the more robust and available the Wi-Fi is. So, Gary, as a recommendation for extending, if you were to look into this technology, you get great Wi-Fi in all these other areas using this system, except the bedroom. The bedroom's got a weak signal. You buy a beacon, you set it in the bedroom. Now you're getting great Wi-Fi in the bedroom. If you're in an environment like this open room, and you've added enough computers that it's weighing on the Wi-Fi, like they're interfering with each other, because that's what happens with wireless, is they're transmitting and receiving. You get enough of those devices transmitting and receiving in the same area, they start interfering with themselves. You could buy more beacons for that area, and now they're taking on that extra load and determining what's the fastest route to go out to the internet. So it's very impressive technology. I get nothing from selling Euro, so I'm endorsing what a good experience I had after it was set up. I think you guys, anybody interested in this can go back and listen to my previous frustrations getting them set up. One of my big criticisms is that they're selling it like an iDevice, like you'd buy at Apple, and you definitely, at the time I was setting it up, you definitely needed customer support to get it set up. I couldn't set it up. I set it up twice, and both times I ended up having to call customer support to get it set up. So they're billing themselves as any idiot can set it up. This idiot could not set it up without help.
Well, then you're not an idiot.
So we could use that to replace the existing router.
That's right. Yeah, that would replace the existing router unless you're using your Telmex router. Your Telmex router is what's providing you with internet. Right. So if you're using the Telmex router, then you would supplement it with this system. Yeah, you would plug the Telmex router into this, and then this would be your new Wi-Fi system.
But Wi-Fi's down, nothing's going to work.
In your case, because you're using Juan's system, if his system's down, then none of these products help you. Yeah.
It's been great for 2 days now.
Awesome. Maybe it will, I want to say peter out, but that's kind of the wrong. It would be the reverse of petering out. Maybe it'll amp up as people are petering out of town.
That's actually what's happening.
That's what we thought was going to happen, but it's got the worst.
Well, after Samana Santa, if I saved that right.
Yes.
And this past weekend, now it seems to be back where it was when it was first installed.
Where do you live?
Yeah.
Ranchitos.
I would imagine at times like Samana Santa are the only times you're competing with people for those systems out in Ranchitos.
But after they left, it was still bad for 4 days, 5 days. We'd be watching something, a streaming video. Two nights in a row at 10 minutes after 10.
Hey, and then at 8:30 one night, and it's like I'm in the middle of a series, and what's going to happen?
It's really funny how all us IT people have turned into TV people all of a sudden.
I know, I was thinking that last week. What are we all doing watching TV here? So I have news.
Okay.
I bought a washing machine.
All right.
You talk to it and it works, right?
Did you get it connected to the internet?
Actually, it does. I was reading that last night. I am not going to do that.
Oh, I believe
that.
I just plays a nice song when it's finished.
Yes, okay. This one plays.
This one goes Netflix. How do we get out? How do we stop them from using us? Or sending us ads and
ads.
What do you mean, Chester?
Well, sitting there on Netflix, and I something I searched on Amazon the day before. It shows up on
your computer or on your TV?
On my computer.
You can go into your account and stop that.
Well, I tried that, but I haven't figured that out yet.
Because I just saw that the other day.
Hold on a second. This is new to me. So Netflix has allowed advertising on their web interface?
I'm not sure what he's talking about. I get messages, a new movie or new series has come out. I get emails like that.
But you're
that.
Talking about like Amazon promotions.
Oh, no.
I don't think that Netflix does that. I would be concerned that there's an adware software on your computer. Mm. And you might get malware bytes and scan your computer with that. Yeah, because that I do not think that Netflix is supplementing their income like that. They are the largest media company in the world right now. They have no need to supplement it with pop-up ads. I would.
I didn't mean Netflix. I meant Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a different deal.
I ask if it's Facebook.
Turn on the TV.
I'm sorry. Of course you're getting them.
When you get my age, you do.
Hey, but thank you for the transition, because let's talk a little bit about Facebook. You guys know that that Zuckerberg's about to go in and talk to Congress?
He's getting there right now. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was tomorrow he was doing it. All right. Well, he's supposed to be talking to the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee and the Justice Committee tomorrow. So today he's talking to Energy and Commerce Committee, the House Energy Commerce Committee. You can tell I wrote this down, right, because I couldn't remember any of that. And I don't know if you guys paid attention to this, but apparently Facebook has given them quite a bit of money. So we're thinking he's going in. I mean, us normal people are thinking he's going in to face some really tough questions. Be interesting to see if he just has softballs lobbed at him.
Who's them?
Who's he giving money to?
Oh, these committees I just named. In fact, I got some numbers here.
He gives money to congressmen.
Facebook has been giving donations. I got a number here that $381,000 Facebook has given the members of this committee since 2007. That's the one he's in today. Tomorrow he'll face a joint committee, and those two committees, one of those committees got $369,000.
Well, the committee didn't get it. Somebody
well, the members of the committee. Right. And it's fair to say that, because out of the 55 committee members we're talking about, 9 refused money from them. So 46 members that will be asking him questions will be asking him relatively easy questions, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It'll be interesting to see. I think we should pay attention to it and see if we notice some difference.
Is each member slotted a certain amount of time to do this? That was my understanding.
I think it is.
You get 4 minutes or something.
I hope that's the case.
It depends how much they receive.
Keep somebody from...
I can only give the tech angle on this stuff. I have no idea how these committees work.
His t-shirts.
Ed, what did you want to say?
Well, I've run across a problem with YouTube when I'm watching Fox News Live. It's gone to a split screen. Oh. You know.
Fox News Live, and you get to a
split screen?
Well, it shows the live feed over here, then it shows something like an ads and stuff over here. I mean, it's not the full screen like last week, when you hooked up Fox News Live, you got the full screen.
Huh. I don't know. You say it's on YouTube?
Yeah.
Maybe it's YouTube's attempt to make money off the ads.
Maybe. I don't know.
They keep pushing the thing for no ads.
It seems to only affect Fox News Live, though. It doesn't affect, you know.
If it's a live stream, you would think it would be Fox News doing it.
I don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, they're pirated, I'm sure. I mean, one of them's Grandpa's house.
So it's showing up on these pirated streams, then I would definitely think it was Fox News. Because what's coming down the stream is what's being broadcast. Huh. So you might want to go to an actual Fox feed and verify that it's...
Well, I've watched Fox News on my Vader, and it works fine. But
so, like, you could see the two different streams, and on YouTube, it's got like ads and stuff popping up next to it. And
try CBS.
Interesting.
That's not DirecTV then.
No, this is YouTube. You just go into YouTube, type in Fox News Live, and
they give you some ads. Probably.
What about the rumor? I heard they're going to try to oust Zuckerberg.
Oh, I don't think there's any weight to that. He would have to oust himself because he is the majority stakeholder in Facebook. So he gets to decide what happens to him. Yeah. Now, it'll just be interesting to see how he handles it. One of the things that tech commentators, tech journalists have been saying is it's the exact same. They call it the apology tour he's on because he's been doing the same thing since 2010, and he's got an apology script that he reads. And so you can set up his wording side by side. Every year he's had to go out and do an apology, it's the same format. He's apologizing for the same things. I mean, not the same incident, but he's apologizing for not being better on top of it and appealing to people's patience. And those are his thoughts. Yeah, thank you, Chester. He's got the same talking points in every apology.
He started in 08, didn't he? Because a lot of this information was fed to the Obama campaign.
Obama used it as well.
So this has been longer than this has been a long time.
Yeah.
It's no surprise that he's just repeating himself. And
last week he had his female COO, I think it is, on a bunch of shows, and she was really slick. And
she is.
Yeah. Okay. You see, my favorite is this. That's a really good question. That's a tremendous question. That's a great question. And when she doesn't like the question, it's too tough. She'll start to answer this year. Well, let's go back to this.
Well, actually, they were saying this morning that that's her job.
Oh, of course it is. I mean, she's trained to do it, too.
But they're really saying that the Democrats are going to go after him because he helped Trump, see?
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah.
Politics.
Yeah, that's tough.
But aren't we all ultimately responsible for our own security? I don't know why people thought any different. When you put your whole life out on Facebook, what are you thinking?
Exactly.
You know, it's.
But at some point, you know, when they have these licenses that you say you agree or disagree, have you ever read one?
No.
I haven't either, of course.
My thought process is, whatever I'm doing, it's out there for everyone.
Oh, I agree.
And if I think that they're telling me they're going to protect me, well, no, that's not going to happen.
That's not exactly what happened.
Do 18-year-old kids care?
No, they don't care.
They don't care.
But that's not what happened.
Okay, Chester.
What happened was that they had a posting where you were to take a test, a personality test. Okay, and then in doing so, you agreed that all of your friends could be contact. And so that's how they got from maybe 30 people to...
Yeah, let me expand on that some more. Facebook's policy up till 2015 was that if you were allowed to write an app for their platform and somebody used it, then not only did you get access to their personal information, but you got access to all their friends' personal information as well. And so that's how we reached that 80 million number. And recently they're saying that it's more like 2.2 billion. I think Judy's got a perfect point. And actually, every time I approach Facebook or any of the social networks I'm on, And I'll preach it to you guys too, is anything you put on the internet's public. Just expect it to be public whether you wanted it to be or not. Just treat it as though it's public. Don't share things that you would hate for someone else to find out about you, because they'll find out. There's no other way to deal with it effectively. Otherwise, you're going to be sorely disappointed. That being said, Facebook was a very poor steward of your information, and that needs to be investigated, because they did make promises in the way they do things that this kind of thing wouldn't happen, and they very specifically changed their policies, which I just called promises. They changed their policies in 2015 to not allow the collection of this kind of data. They have a procedure that's really weak for making sure that this data disappears. They were sending out flyers to people that collected this data that weren't allowed to have it any longer, asking them to write a statement saying that they had deleted the data and sign it. That was the only way that they verified that data was not, and that's where Cambridge Analytics is in so much trouble, is they said, yeah, we deleted it, and they didn't. And so I think those things need to be explored, simply because you make promises in the terms of policies, and you should be able to stand by them.
So what's the fix? Facebook has 99% of the world.
I've had a lot of people asking me, should they delete their account? You know, there's hashtag delete Facebook right now.
What should come?
I don't have a fix, but I can tell you what people are dealing with. Elon Musk has deleted his Facebook account for Tesla, just out of principle. I mean, if you want to send a message to Facebook, they've already got your data. I mean, there's no keeping your data away from them. Your data from 3-4 years ago is just as valid for decision making as it is right now up to date. So you're not protecting yourself by deleting your Facebook account. Just recently, Steve Wozniak, the Woz, are you guys familiar with the Woz? He's the other Steve that developed Apple. He's come out on the record. He has deleted his Facebook account. He says that it's slimy what they're doing. I don't know if he used the word slimy, but that's the way it sounded when you heard him talking about it.
Was he working for Facebook?
No, no.
Another guy from the Arrow was working with Facebook and just quit the other day.
Yeah.
They quit
over this stuff.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And it's considered an inappropriate use of your data. And they've built their whole business based on this advertising model that uses your data. And so there are some prominent people out there preaching, send them a message, get off Facebook.
Well, they're supposed to, this week, the 87 million that were compromised, they're supposed to send each of them a message that they were or were not, but right. They were compromised.
It says, "Dear Sarah."
Yeah.
And I got something on the phone that you can check to see if you were.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be happening this week when it starts showing up in your feed, and they've got two different messages. One, if you were compromised, and another, if you could be compromised, and they're supposed to lead you to all the different apps that at the moment have full access to your data.
So a class action suit of $100 or $1,000 per person that was compromised might happen.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
There'll be a class action.
It has to be a financial. It has to be something, because unless you're going to break up, like AT&T was broken up, or Exxon, or Standard Oil was broken up, there has to be some sort of a divestiture. Same with YouTube and Google.
And Twitter.
If you're not aware of the...
Twitter,
Twitter's busy hurting themselves.
If you're not aware of the censorship on YouTube and you care about the internet, you really ought to be aware of that. There's a ridiculous censorship going on. I won't get into it, but there's a ridiculous censorship. I'm surprised that you're still allowed to be on YouTube with all this.
Well, our stuff tends to lean left. At least because I'm kind of driving it.
The stuff cut off by YouTube.
That's right. And I agree with Gary. This is wrong. This is totally wrong that they're doing this. They're censoring. They're taking it to themselves to censor people that are displaying guns and they're
even less than that.
Yeah.
Ideas.
They cut off Diamond and Pearl. Can you imagine that?
Diamond and Pearl?
Yeah. Two colored ladies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they cut them off.
I don't expect that. because of Google's politics. It's
ideas. As soon as you start censoring ideas.
Yeah,
it's
a very slippery slope. And the problem is we've built an environment on the Internet where we rely on Google. I mean, I've dealt with it with the bed and breakfast. Because I'm trying to get bookings for this this summer, but if you don't show up in Google, you don't exist. Yeah. You absolutely don't have a business. And so I have to jump through all these hoops to make sure I'm showing up on Google.
They change them every week.
Which is a private endeavor. It's publicly owned now, but they're not driven by any kind of consensus other than their own. Zuckerberg's been quoted as saying maybe we do need some regulation. And I think a lot of this is about that. It's about steering this conversation to the kind of regulation that everyone can agree on, that Facebook can agree on with these people that are asking him questions right now.
In that case, it would be worthless.
Right, well, it would be...
The regulation would be worthless.
It would be toothless, you mean. Yeah. Well, there's some other stuff going on. I got a really light topic, and I've got another heavy one. So I'll start on the heavy one, and I'll give you the light one as a closing. Just recently, like in the last, I don't know, 10 days, right at the end of last month, if you guys weren't paying attention, some independent peer-studied analysis of a study that was done by the government on cell phone use. We're back to cell phones being harmful. Have you seen this?
No.
So, apparently, not the government researchers, but independent researchers that have done their own peer review of a government research that had gone down so many years ago on the health effects of cell phones and causing cancer have come to the conclusion that they can produce cancer. And it's a definitive position that they're taking. At the exact same time, without the Nation publication being aware that that was going on, that just happened to coincide with them releasing an article where they've been talking with people out in the field, and they have put together information from independent researchers that they're... And I'm screwing this up because the point isn't of their article, and they made this very clear. We're not saying that cell phones produce cancer or don't produce cancer. We're not taking a position on the health implications of cell phone use. Their article, which just came out about 10 days ago, is about the cover-up that the cell phone industry has done and the actions they've taken since the late 90s to convince us that cell phones are safe. And so it's a very interesting article.
Would these be similar to the tobacco companies in the NFL?
Yeah, well, actually, the Nation uses the example of big oil in tobacco companies, but the NFL's probably another good one.
Well, a concussion, yeah.
They say specifically that they are not taking a position on the health effects of cell phones, but what their article is about is pointing out the cover-up that's been going on since the late 90s and how it parallels what big oil and big tobacco were doing, trying to prolong the discovery of the health problems. Yeah, Jim.
It's not just cell phones. How many people have a deck 6 phone? A what? Cordless deck 6, which is the best cover.
Your home
radiation.
Phone.
Radiation. I've got a radiation detector at the house. You have to see what the base station puts out on that phone.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Bang. Really? You don't sleep by it. It causes cancer and sleep disorders.
That's why I can't sleep.
But it's not just your cell phone.
Well, here's wording from their article. A recent peer-reviewed independent study is saying that there is clear evidence that cell phones are linked with cancer. This draws a parallel to the way companies of big oil and big tobacco dealt with the questions that were brought up in their own research. The cell phone companies did their own research and then buried it, just like those two industries did. they found health problems and they figured out a way to spend their own research or just hide it. It's a great article to read. It's very interesting. Here's another point. They said war gaming. They war gamed the science. And this is a terminology that's been used to explain or to define funding science that is friendly to these industries. So the cell phone industry put money into scientists that are known for falling on their position.
What a shock.
Right? It's also, they put funding into discrediting independent science that would be going against their own position. And a lot of this, the peer-to-peer stuff, I'm using the wrong language and now I can't even talk. The peer-reviewed, that's what I'm trying to say.
Term that is, isn't it? You never see it anymore, except in this one right here.
Right, because
those things about chocolate and this and that every week to come out, none of those are peer-reviewed.
Right. So what was my point? Oh, the peer-reviewed independent studies were prompted by one of the industry's insiders that it has a reputation of falling on the side of the industry. So he's the kind of scientist that was working for big oil. It was working for tobacco. And typically put out reports that fell in their favor. Like, he was known for doing research and skewing his results in favor of the big industries. And he came out as saying, no, these definitely have a link to cancer. And he was shut up by the industry. And he had interactions with Tom Wheeler, who, if you remember from the last administration, was in charge of the FCC. But before that, he was in that space. He worked for the industry. And Tom Wheeler.
What article is this?
Well, this is an article that's just recently come out in The Nation.
In The Nation.
Yeah.
But having knowing that, so what? I mean, everything's going to cell phone. Maybe they could devise new technology or...
Well, I think just like what we found with big tobacco, and we're gonna see with oil eventually, is these organizations have made so much money that they're gonna end up funding cancer research programs and paying for people's medical treatments, and right, and it's gonna start being just a blank check in that respect. They won't have to. They're not gonna have to. Prove that somebody died of tobacco smoke. It's going to look that way, and they're going to just start writing off checks for goodwill. That I think that's the point of this kind of article. The journalist, when interviewed, made it very clear he's not a scientist. He doesn't understand all the science that goes into this. And that's one of the reasons that his article has nothing to do with whether they are healthy or... Well, healthy is not the way you would describe it. It's the cover-up that he's reporting on. But he did state in a couple of different interviews that from what he learned, he would use a cell phone with as limited use as possible. He would always use it with earbuds. He would never get it as close to his brain. He would never let a child use this technology because they're in the development stages. His thing is, and he used an example of one of these new products he's seen. I'd never heard of this, but he saw it. He was mentioning a product using 5G Wi-Fi that was a baby's diaper, where you clip on a wireless device near their crotch so that you can get a notification on your phone whether they've wet themselves and need a diaper change.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I don't think I would be buying that anytime soon for my kids.
Goes over and changes it.
I don't know. I may need that.
You wouldn't know.
So I'll put a link to the article on sccclub.org if you guys want to track it down. I think it's probably very easy to find with a couple of Google searches if you just do The Nation in cell phones.
What's the good news now?
Oh, the good news. Well, okay, not necessarily good news, but here's the light topic. There has been some debate for a long time about whether you should. Did anybody want to add anything to this? Just the horror that I shared with them just now.
Just one thing, real quick.
Yeah, Gary.
What is the signal that's actually coming to this phone that is causing?
I don't think it's a signal coming to it. I think it's the signal it emits.
What's being emitted from it.
Right. Because the signal, by the time those radio waves get to the phone, they're so light that they're not something that I think we're concerned about.
Or is it the components that the phone is made of? Is that the issue?
Yeah, you know, these are good questions. I don't know. I mean, you might be right. It might just be those rare earth metals that are in it. Maybe there's something about that. But there are studies that have been done since the 90s that have been hushed up that show a direct correlation with cancer and cell phone usage. And that's what this article is about, is the hushing up.
And don't most youngsters not even talk? They're always texting or whatever.
Yeah, it seems like they do text.
Yeah, or use the speaker.
Yeah.
I think that's probably healthier behavior at this point. Well, okay, so the other topic I come to club with that I thought you guys might appreciate is that for years there's been this question of whether you should shut down your background apps on your mobile devices. I know people get concerned about leaving things running, it's taking too much memory, it's draining my battery, it's making the device slow. And there has been a study done by The Verge. They've got a great video out, like a 5-minute video, talking about how in this day and age this is not true any longer. And I thought you guys would appreciate this, that they actually have, they've interviewed experts, independent developers, and they've also got the information from Google and Apple talking about their operating systems and the way the modern operating system works. And there is no need to be concerned about shutting down these apps. Actually, by systematically going and shutting down apps that are running, you may be creating a worse experience for yourself. You may find that apps take longer to start up. The startup process may be draining more battery life because they're having to put those things into memory again. The way the modern operating system is set up and the way modern equipment is, there's plenty of processing power and there's plenty of memory to set these apps aside. And from a user's perspective, when you look at your list of apps, you think you're looking at something running, but from the operating system, it has been shut down. And it's only out of the beautification of the operating system that it's provided you with the illusion that it's running by doing a screenshot to put in front of you so you have something pretty to look at as you're going through the organization. The difference between shutting it down, like swiping it off, or leaving it running in the background is at what point it starts back up. And that's what they're talking about. Maybe taking more battery life is having to go back to where you were as opposed to starting up where you were, could drain your battery faster, could require you to go through more hoops.
Okay, I think you're talking about the old technique that we all have been doing.
Right.
You go to our start menu and you get rid of stuff that you don't use frequently.
Well, I'm talking about those things that are continually running in your system. And I keep motioning the palm of my hand like I'm holding a phone because, I mean, though Windows 10 and the Macintosh operating system, Mac OS, they are also modern operating systems that you would think of in the same way as you think about your mobile devices. We're really thinking of mobile devices as we're talking about this. I mean, it is still true in those operating systems. But what you find, people that have iPhones or they have Android devices, is that people are going out of their way to make sure that these are not running in the background of their phones. And what this video article is telling us is that we're doing ourselves a disservice by doing that. We're causing our batteries to run down faster.
That's interesting.
We're creating more frustration for ourselves because things take longer to load into memory. Now, there is there is a caveat to this that I saw when I was reading through the information provided. Some programs that you leave running in the background may continue to use data. So if you have a concern about a program using up data, maybe you've got a plan that's very data restricted, you may want to diligently be looking for opportunities to shut that stuff down so that you're not getting hit with more of a data bill. It's not so much of a problem these days. Data is very cheap and very available. It's not a realistic reason to be concerned about having something running under the majority of cases, but there might be some very specific cases where people have limited access to data or it's very expensive, and so they don't want that going on. Another reason the main reason that you would want to shut down an application in your phone or your mobile device or your computer would be that it's not behaving correctly. Like you go to it and you end up with a blank screen or you get an error message. Well, that's a very legitimate reason to go to your list of things that are running and shut it off and then try starting it back up, because then it'll go through that process of bringing it back into memory, rereading everything. And occasionally you do have these experiences, whether you know it or not. I've had the experience after an update, and anybody that's got more than 50 apps installed in an Android device will realize that you're dealing with updates every day. Mm-hmm. Every day there's some new application, some new version of an app that you use. And without a doubt, you've had an experience where you try to go to that app and it's frozen up. I relate it to the new version is not using. It did not go back to that place in memory the way it was supposed to. And so you shut that down and you start it up again and everything's good again.
I had the experience, Nick and I share the laptop and we have different logons. So when I leave mine, before I say shut me down or sign out, I close everything. And then the next time I went in, it would say insufficient resources.
Oh, really?
Available, so I had to shut the computer all the way down.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
That happens a lot.
It's not happening anymore.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, you're still having that?
Yesterday.
Well, and what you might find that correlates with some bad app. So there's some application that's using memory. And you know, Firefox is a good culprit for that. And Chrome is a good culprit for that, too. Is both of those browsers at different times have had memory leaks in them where the memory footprint just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing the longer it's running. And the only fix for it is to turn it off and turn it back on. And it feels like every other version, they fixed it, and then it's broken again. And they fixed it, and it's broken again. So you might be able to identify it as something like that. Unfortunately, in those two examples, if those are your browsers of choice, you just have to deal with it because any given version may be working or maybe not. Historically, that's what's happened. It's fixed.
I got run, but I after 5.5 months of great service from VPN Express, HBO caught me twice on Friday night.
Oh!
Yeah, so I moved from L.A. to Texas, and I got through most of the rest of the show, and then the last 12 minutes, they got me again.
What happened?
I don't know. They must. I was going to HBO through Comcast.
Hold on a second, Mike. I'm getting a picture of you for HBO.
One of them must have gotten, must have gotten more aggressive in their search for people
locations.
Well, it's always the same. These VPN providers are providing pools of IP addresses. And all they have to do, a service that wants to crack down on it, they just have to start maintaining a database of those pools of IP addresses. Yeah. And when they see people coming to watch their content from one of those pools, they can say, you're using a VPN, you're breaching our terms of service. If you want to use this service, turn off the VPN.
Did you get a message on the screen or just...
It was some vague thing that said, where are
you? Gotcha.
Look behind you really quick.
Netflix is a great example of this.
Oh, yeah.
Before they had service in Mexico, they didn't care.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to crack down on it. Now that they have legitimate service in Mexico, then they've cracked down on all these VPNs.
You would think that these other providers of content would do the same, follow the same path.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
Well, they have it. You know,
well, you might be watching that happen right now. Amazon never cared. And now that Amazon has an offering in Mexico, they've started cracking down on VPNs.
I didn't know they had an offering.
Yep. Well, thanks for joining us, Chester. Thanks for bringing your topics.
Welcome back.
I think we've kind of reached the end. Does anybody have any other questions or
just
topics?
One thing, we were talking about US TV Now last week and how Roku kicked them off, and that, so they became Teleup.
Oh, that's right. Matt, you sent me something.
That got kicked off also. And I got an email saying, we apologize, we're working on this. It could take a few days, it could take longer. So I just quit my account, and they refunded me the entire month.
Oh, hey, that's great to know.
That was very...
Did you hear what Maggie just said? Last week we were talking about USA TV Now, and you remember how their app has been kicked off the Roku, and they were recommending another app. What was the name of it?
Teleup.
Teleup, to get their same service through this other app. Now that app's been kicked off of Roku. Mm-hmm. Maggie complained to USA TV Now saying, I can't get your content, and they immediately refunded her a whole month of service.
Cool. I asked for 20 days. They gave me the whole month.
That's awesome. That's the way any service should be behaving.
Yeah, it was. And maybe someday I'll...
What are they up to?
Well, they're probably looking for a way to keep in business without pissing people off,
don't
right?
Don't burn your bridges.
Yeah. We'll be back. You can bet you're on a mailing list to get that email. We're back.
Yeah. I told them we would come back when they got it fixed, but I don't know that. Vader's been working beautifully.
Who?
Vader.
Vader. God, there's so many out
there. Thank you, Scott. You're welcome. Hey, did you guys hear, I mean, in terms of Vader, did you hear about Google cracking down on the word Cody?
I heard something about that, but...
Yeah.
Cracking down on what?
On the word Cody. Cody.
You can't search it anymore.
Right. So here's how it plays out to a typical person doing a Google search. If you type K-O-D... it will not suggest the word Cody. Yeah. If you type in the I, then you'll get the kind of results you're looking for from a Cody search. Like if you're looking for plugins and things of that nature, you're looking for discussion groups. But if you get K-O-D-N, it will not suggest the word Cody. It's been blacklisted. Well, and Google has said, and this goes with Gary's censorship topic. Mm-hmm. This is Google arbitrarily saying we have decided to cut down on piracy, and so we are not going to host that search term.
They probably wanted more money from them.
From who?
From Cody. From their ads. They're all corrupt. You know.
Well, these are. You know what?
A free service. You think, oh, it's great, but they're selling your information. They got to make their money somewhere.
Sure.
That's just like Facebook and everything else. It boggles me that everybody's, oh, God, they're selling my... Well, how do you expect to make a living?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the American way. Yeah. Until you get caught.
But that used to be our war cry, was that if you can't figure out through the customer or who the product is, you're the product. If you're wondering how they're making money and they're not getting it from you, it's because they're selling you.
Yeah, that's it. So Twitter, Facebook,
Twitter.
Whatever.
I don't
even Facebook, all that stuff.
Well, great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome. We'll see you next Tuesday at the San Carlos Computer Club. This is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. Coming to you every Tuesday from Tequila's. We start at 9:15, and we try and sort out tech topics and how they affect us here in Mexico. If you have any interest in any of these recordings, I put them on YouTube, and I make a podcast out of them. You can find them by going to our website at sccclub.org. If you have computer issues anywhere on the Internet, I'd appreciate you using my services. You can get a hold of me through internationalcs.net or call my offices locally at 226-0209. Until next week, until next Tuesday, tech on. Turn that off. Turn that off. Bye-bye. Turn that off. Everything.